This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Basketball was fun last night.
Dude, we are in a sweet spot right now, this moment, in terms of the watchability of basketball. I don't know that at any level the sport gets better than this moment we're in right now. This is the Final Four in each conference. So you've got two series in each conference. You've got two games almost every night. I'm pretty sure it's two games every night moving forward here as they alternate, give an off day, and it's a scheduling sweet spot of the best players in the game playing with more passion than you get a chance to see them play with during the season. Make no mistake, the backdrop here is that regular season NBA basketball is a completely different experience than playoff NBA basketball.
I would say the same thing for baseball. Like, there's the inventory is a lot, and you're asking guys to do stuff. If you wanted an avatar for how different regular season basketball is versus playoff basketball, may I suggest James Harden?
There you go. Or the Bulls' March, which you tried to point out, even as I and others were getting somewhat excited by the Bulls' March run.
You know me, Spiegs. I'm a wet blanket.
Well, yeah, it's one of my favorite things about you.
That's what I heard.
Just throw you in the dryer. I got a dryer.
How many softener sheets do you do?
Two.
Sean, what about you?
It depends on how, like, if it's betting sheets, like maybe two or three.
I usually go three or four on betting.
Mm-hmm. They're getting you.
Alex?
It depends on it. Sometimes I'll reuse them if there's a little left in it, but
wow.
two or three. Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing about NBA playoffs versus regular season, though. The effort level on every single possession in NBA playoff games is elite. Like that Knicks thing last night, where they came back from 16 at the break, 20 in the third.
They out here saving Tibbs' job.
And they say it every time, and you watch them do it. Jalen Brunson said, we're meeting on the bench there, and we're down 20, and we're talking about it. It's like, well, there's no 20-point shot out there. We just got to grind it out every possession. And their effort level every possession is unbelievable to watch. So we're in a sweet spot right now where the NBA playoffs are incredible. These teams are all great. They're stacked full of stars, and there's two games every night. And I thought this before the two games last night. The two games last night were both outrageous.
Both games last night were incredible. By the way, to speak to Spiegs' point, Cavaliers-Pacers tonight at 6 on TNT and True TV and Max, and then Timberwolves-Warriors at 8:30.
Just pause there for a second. Cavs already lost game one to Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers. And then that second game, that's Steph still playing like this. The new look Warriors with Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler against Ant-Man and a Minnesota team that plays hard. So, my God, that's great TV tonight.
The thing about Steph, I've been thinking a lot about what we're seeing from him. And I know that we live in the space of what drives programming at the national level is trying to compare LeBron to whomever. And mostly it's to the legacy of Jordan or the ghost of Kobe Bryant. It's amazing to me that there are two players in the history of the GOAT conversation that we look past. One is Kareem, and the other is Steph. I think that because of Steph's style, Speaks, that it feels like a gimmick. Like, oh, well, he's just doing a gimmick, this thing that he's doing with the three-pointers.
Not anymore, man.
I would imagine after four titles and league MVP stuff and finals MVP stuff that people, but he never gets discussed that way.
Yeah.
And look at what he's doing. What he, like the stuff that, and his hand hurts. Have you seen pictures of that thumb?
Uh-huh.
That thumb is swollen.
Dylan Brooks was going after it that entire series too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't like him.
He's a bag.
I don't like that
guy. But Houston played a great defense, aggressive physical defense on him. He said it was the hardest defense he's ever faced in a series.
But
he still found a way to contribute and was happy to, you know, let the other guys do their thing as well. They figured it out. Yes, Steph. I mean, I adore Steph, but GOAT? See, defensively enough value? I mean, Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Kareem, you know, even Magic, I mean, had more defensive value than Steph.
We jump over Magic, too. It's weird. It's very strange how we leave certain guys out of the conversation. And I'm not saying that Steph is. I'm just saying that it's interesting how...
He's a top 10 player of all time.
How we just look past him. Like, oh, that's adorable what he's been doing in Golden State for 15 years.
It's more than that. It is more than adorable. I agree. And like how he has turned his ability to shoot as quickly as he can and from where he can into an ability to attack the rim.
Yes.
Is amazing.
And I would just say, and I say this anytime that Steph comes up, just don't even, the shooting is whatever. We all know that that's great. I want you to watch the constant motion of his game. He wears defenders out. He is running them through multiple baseline screens. He is just active all the time trying to get open. And seeing him play, there's a lot of like small stuff when you're watching what's left of the playoffs. That's a lot of fun. Watching Steph is fun. I also... I'm a Russ stan. Like, I am an absolute Russell Westbrook stan.
This whole playoffs has been the full Russ picture of the chaos and the excellence and the constant effort. And even last night in the game, Russ had his hands on the ball, and you're like, oh, no, what's he going to do?
And he made the right basketball play.
He did. He did.
And there's one more thing, and this is going to sound like a hawkism, okay? I don't know if anyone gets to the front of the rim better than Donovan Mitchell.
Gets to the front of the rim.
Every time I see Donovan Mitchell on the wing, I'm like, oh, he's going to the paint. And everyone should know that he's going to the paint.
Mm.
But he somehow still just goes to the paint. And it doesn't matter if he's on the left wing or the right wing. He's getting to the bucket. And watching that is a lot of fun. So I'm with you. I have enjoyed this. And then there's the brilliance of Jokic.
Oh, Jokic is amazing. The whole Nuggets thing. All right. There's a reason I wanted to bring up this conversation that you and I are having about the NBA playoffs. And there's two reasons. One is just to talk playoffs because you and I both love it as an entity. And here we are talking about it. But the other is to make sure everybody's aware of where Aaron Gordon lives. The Denver Nuggets, Aaron Gordon. He hit the game winner last night. He hit the three-pointer that we played on the way in. Aaron Gordon used to be a terrible outside shooter. Always been a brilliant athlete, a highlight dunker, a willing defender, but he is now a legit three-point shooter who said he knew that one was good. When he let it go last night, he said, yeah, I knew it wasn't a miss. So he knew. And then I saw that Christian Brown was talking about this, and somehow I had missed it. I just tweeted it. I also emailed it to you, Lawrence. Aaron Gordon lives in a gym. He literally bought a warehouse that he converted into a basketball gym, and that is his house. And it's incredible. Like, there's huge murals all over the walls. It's beautiful. He calls it his basketball sanctuary. It's his warehouse where he lives. He's got a giant 2023 NBA Western Conference Finals banner that the Nuggets let him have that he hangs in his gym. But He can, as Christian Brown said last night, it made me go run into the internet to find it. He can roll out of bed and go do some shooting. Middle of the night, whatever, can't sleep, let me go shoot. And he's got a three-point line, full three-point line on a fully functional basket. And this, to me, is genius. You're a professional basketball player. This is your passion. It's your sanctuary. And you can shoot so much that you get better. So props to Aaron Gordon for converting his home or converting the warehouse into his home and now being such a good three-point shooter that he hits a game winner to win the first playoff game of that series.
I think it's cool when you have enough money to play around with real estate like that. You know, that you can add form to function of the place that you live in by doing it. I think it's really cool. I've been thinking, because I know that in Indianapolis this has been a thing. I don't know if there is other places. They've converted like baseball, old like minor league diamonds into apartments and condos.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's Indianapolis. Alex, would you look it up for me?
You're going where I was thinking, though. Like, there's got to be other athletes that live. Like, is there somebody else that lives inside a basketball gym? Is there a hockey player?
It always felt like Kobe did.
Yeah,
you know? Right.
And maybe like, and you know, you build yourself your own court in your basement.
Does
of your
someone have
estate?
A rink in their basement?
That's what I want to know. Is there a hockey player with a rink in his basement?
Or a pond outside that is
there's
the
a pool,
right dimensions.
There's a pool and a pond. Pond would be good for you.
Yeah, pond would be good for me.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Goonga, goonga, galunga.
Right. I mean, I'm sure great tennis players have a court with...
Right. You would imagine that Serena could literally... Like, put on a pair of shorts and go on outside and hit if she wants to.
Why does this hit different, though? It's the atmosphere of the gym, that it's an actual gym in a warehouse?
I think because it's a... Maybe because it's the idea of... It is the idealized way that all of us think that we would act if we had that type of money and that was our job.
I used to dream about the Brother Mansion. My band with my brother... In the 90s and the aughts and the early 10s, brother, like, what would we do for the brother mansion? And I had dreams of what that place would look like.
I mean, for what we do, I have a room that is now dedicated to
it.
Podcasting or doing the show from home.
You've done it. You've got that room. It's soundproofed. It's all good to go.
It's not quite soundproof, but it's so small it doesn't matter. It's very small. It's like 8x8, but...
Texter says stadium lofts in Indianapolis in the old Bush stadium.
Yeah. That's it. I saw that, and I was like, that's a really cool idea. Like, there's no games going on there, but that's a development that I think that there was like a $1 million investment, and now it's already like paid for itself, that sort of thing. But think about this. I guarantee you... That Circa has a suite like this.
That Circa has a suite with a basketball?
I guarantee it.
I'd like to come and I'd like to stay in a suite, but I also like to keep shooting.
You want to get these shots off?
I play hoops 30 minutes of every hour when I'm awake. Do you have a suite where I can do that? Yeah, they probably do. Alex, you were going to share something about Aaron Gordon and his shooting and the history of it?
Yeah, so when he came out of Arizona's freshman year, he was a 42% free throw shooter. He's now at 80%.
Dude, how about that?
So this is why it hits different, because it's obviously paying huge dividends.
Because that's why it hits different today. Absolutely. He was a 42% free throw shooter. Now he's an 80% shooter. That is beautiful in terms of professional development. Look how much money the man has made. Look at his career. He's an NBA champion. They call him Mr. Nugget. Him.
Which is crazy, because you would think it would be Alex English, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Or Kiki Vandeweghe.
Or Mello?
Not Mello, I don't think.
Not Mello?
But maybe
or
Mr.
AI?
Maybe Mr. Nugget.
Remember when Allen Iverson was a Nugget? Remember that?
Who are your favorite Nuggets?
When
light them up!
When you go, oh,
chicken.
That's...
Chicken is my favorite Nugget.
That's a guy in a weird place wearing a weird uniform. And you're like, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't feel right. At all.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic ought to be Mr. Nugget. But, you know, maybe it's like the greatest living ball player. It's got to be bestowed upon you.
Yeah, that's the guy who's going to be Mr. Nugget. We just have to figure out how to say it in Serbian.
Yeah, man, that guy.
Someone can tell us. I know that there are Serbian listeners to this show. How do we say Nugget in Serbian?
All right, texters are...
And do it phonetically because we're stupid.
Please. Texters are starting to help with, like... You know, these former sporting places that have been turned into condos, to your point, And I'm wondering which athletes have done anything like this. Because it does hit different because of how much better of a shooter he is now, and also because of the kind of dream home mixed with like a meditative sanctuary that he's turned it into there.
I would be scared of doing this, and maybe you do have to buy in for as much time as you're in the league to do stuff like this. I would also be worried about, man, I need to get away from the game, yet I'm literally going home to a basketball court. Not that Aaron Gordon probably doesn't have another place to play or could say I'm going to rent out the peninsula or whatever for a week so I don't have to go home. But I would wonder about that too, of how does one get away from your 9-to-5 job if your 9-to-5 job puts you back at home.
So according to this article by Mark Spears over at Andscape.
He's great, by the way.
So Aaron Gordon already owns multiple properties.
Yeah.
So, but he got his idea for the home gym. He purchased an old warehouse to renovate in a very nondescript industrial eastern Denver neighborhood.
Great.
And he redeveloped the warehouse into a two-story home with a master bedroom, guest bedroom, new floors, and a staircase. There's an NBA regulation half court, a sauna, cold and hot tubs built into the floor. A complete weight room moved from his Orlando home with the exercise bike and more. So the cold and hot tubs built into the floor, an NBA regulation half court with sauna in the home.
I know that a lot of softball parents will build a mound for their daughters to practice in the backyard, or I wonder if the Zawoskis have done that now.
It's a good question. I remember Michael Kopech's dad did that for him on the side of the farm.
Absolutely.
Side of the barn.
That it doesn't take a lot to put up a cage, like to have an L screen and a net and all of that stuff.
He had to acquire the necessary licenses to be allowed to live there full time.
Yeah, because he was probably living in an industrial district.
So you can't live here.
Yeah, it's zoned wrong. Uh-huh. But he went and changed it.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much it'll sell for.
Oh, yeah. he can only sell it to another Nugget.
No.
You got to hand it down from one Nugget to another.
25 years later, you can sell it for a third of the cost that you purchased it for.
Or that could be how they decide who Mr. Nugget is. Mr. Nugget lives in the Mr. Nugget house.
You know what? Sean, that's a great idea. It's almost like Mr. Irrelevant.
Right, exactly.
When you get bestowed the title of Mr. Nugget.
Yeah.
Then
congratulations, here's your house.
Yeah. Also, here's your zoning paperwork. So you'll be updated by the first.
Here's the license applications you need so you can actually live there.
Your neighbors with the power.
So if you had the means, Spiegs, would you build a recording studio?
I would absolutely have a recording studio, but I'd have to bring in somebody to be in there and run it for me the whole time as well, because I don't quite know.
One of these guys could do it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I would do that. What I always wanted with the brother mansion, what I still would want is on one floor, the entire wall is a refrigerator. The entire wall is just a giant
see-through.
Nope. Oh, see-through might be a good idea. But the door opens and it's just a huge walk-in fridge. That's the entire wall, and you go in there and everything. And he's got a staircase and stuff in there to get to anything you want. That's one thing.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I also had another weird dream for the brother mansion that
Which
I would
is?
Do. A button that would turn anything you're sitting on into a toilet, so you didn't have to get up and go anywhere.
Now we're talking about sci-fi. Like, now we're talking about Black Mirror stuff.
Sure. Well, just wouldn't that be convenient?
It would be.
Whatever you're sitting on is like, you know what? I got to go to the bathroom. I know what I can do. I can just hit this button.
Paul Giamatti's getting an Emmy for that Black Mirror episode, right?
He was pretty good in that one. He was pretty good.
Like, jeez. Like, so good.
How about the one, the fourth one, Plaything?
My God.
About the computer game?
That one was amazing. This season of Black Mirror has been outstanding, except for, unfortunately, Issa Rae wasn't great, and I was looking forward to, because I think she's amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
But
that movie one wasn't great.
I tell you who was great, Tracee Ellis Ross.
She was great.
And Rashida Jones in the first episode.
And it was fun to see them together because that's Diana Ross's kid and Quincy Jones's kid. And that's not lost on the casting.
It shouldn't be.
It wasn't lost on me as a viewer.
It was great.
Yeah.
And the USS Callister makes a return if you have not Yeah.
I haven't gotten all the way there.
If you're a Black Mirror fan and you hadn't gotten to that episode, they are back. And it is a fascinating tale that is being told.
A texter says Don Mattingly had a batting cage in his pool house back in Indiana. That's outstanding. I remember Roger Clemens had a full, like, had like two pitching mounds, basically had a bullpen in his pool house.
Lefty righty, you got to get him ready.
Yeah.
You never know who's going into the game. Double barrel action.
Double barrel action in the pool house. So Clemens could walk out and make the signal.
All of his kids' names start with K.
Yeah, they do. Well, one of them homered the other day at Fenway.
Cody, right?
Cody Clemens homered at Fenway while Roger was there. I mean, that's crazy. And some of those moments, man.
It's nice.
When you see your Spawn doing something like that, that's got to be outstanding.
Spawn is a great graphic novel and movie. And when we come back.
Todd McFarlane owns a lot of baseballs, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Owns the Maguire's 62, if memory serves.
He is the Geddy Lee of graphic writers. Right?
Is it? Yeah. Or maybe Geddy Lee is the Todd McFarlane of prog bands. Either way.
Something like that. It works somehow. You can figure out in your own mind how it works. When we come back, we want to go back to a conversation that we had yesterday and talk about growing a superstar inside of a clubhouse. And now we got a little bit more context because we talked with Nico and Carter Hawkins. Our guest yesterday was Cliff Floyd, and what he had to say was really cool. You'll want to hear it. We'll share next on The Score.